said, when God builds up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. We know, Lord, that Zion is a people. And it says when God builds up this people, he shall appear in his glory. Father, I believe that we're that people. I believe that we're that generation.
Yes.
I believe that even this little get-together here this morning, Lord, is all about being built up in you, Father. So, Father, we have come with an expectation this morning, Father, that you're going to build us up. You're going to strengthen us. You're going to get us ready for the next challenge, the next battle. Whatever it is we face it in Christ.
Yes.
And we know whatever the challenge is, we know that the provision is already there because it's in Christ. So, Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. And Father, we pray for those who didn't make it, who couldn't make it, and particularly, Lord, for those who didn't want to make it. We pray especially for them, Father, that you would stir in their hearts a desire. And I believe that that's the hour that we're in now, too, God. We're going to start stirring in a people's hearts. Father, you're going to start drawing them. It's a big word today that I get in the spirit. Shula, my woman, said, draw me and I'll run to you. Father, draw your people in this hour and give them the strength to run after you, Father. Give them a vision that when they start seeing who you really are, they'll want to run after you, Lord. We give you all the glory here this morning, Father, as you open the letter of the word and you make it right in reality to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 It's interesting, one thing you said is to build us up, and that's... he confirms his word. Okay, so... Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And so glad we have mothers. I miss mine.
But, we didn't have mothers.
I'll see her again.
We wouldn't be here.
That's right.
That's right.
Right. Anyway, have a wonderful day.
Yeah.
Y'all deserve it. Okay. We're going to kind of do something a little different today. You're going to have to put your thinking caps on or your spiritual thinking caps on because we're going to read this scripture and then we're going to, it's a Bible study day. We're going to do a lot of Bible today, okay?
Cool.
And so, because when you read this, it's like, you know, but when you break it down and you start... I guess what I'm trying to say that I'm not doing a very good job of is just a good example, the book of Revelation. Okay, there are types and shadows and mysteries and whatever that, you know, if we ask, seek, and knock, we're going to get the answer to a lot of this, you know? And so, but one thing I believe with all my heart is if there's a phrase or a word, whether it be Revelation or anywhere, if you go back in the Bible and take that word in all the different scriptures, it's going to bring illumination. It's going to bring revelation. It's going to help to understand.
It unlocks
the door to the understanding of what they're trying to say here. Because if you read this for what it's worth, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones. I mean, think about that. If you get it off the spiritual realm, and then you say, and favor the dust thereof. I mean, many people would be scratching their heads saying, what? Really? I mean, seriously, what is that all about? Well, I'm telling you, we're going to draw conclusions here today. We're going to take different scriptures and whatever, and as a group, we're going to come up with the interpretation of this Psalms 102:14. Okay? Fair enough? You willing to work a little bit today? All right. Okay, so just as Jim was praying, God is building us up. I went to... I mean, let's face it, if you go get the definition of stones, what does it mean? Stones. So you have to dig a little deeper and get to the root of stones, and it's to build, rebuild, establish, cause to continue. Okay? So keep all, we're not going to draw any conclusions until the end, okay? So keep.
Well, we're lively stones.
Well, you're going to see that. Yeah, that's some of the scripture that we're going to get into. So we're going to get into these scriptures.
And you're running ahead.
And then, what we're going to do then is hopefully at the end draw some conclusions as far as what does this mean to you, or what do you know, spiritually speaking, what was the writer of this psalm trying to say? Okay, and what advantage we have over the writer of this psalm is, you know, Jesus. And that's a big, big difference from what they were seeing maybe through a glass darkly, where we might see a lot clearer than what they may have seen. But they wrote down what the Lord told them to write down. So, okay, Matthew 4:3. If you all can see it up there, I'm just going to call on some of you to read. Can you all see this up here? Or you could look it up yourself, whatever. But I'll read the first one. It says, and when the tempter came to him, and we know who the tempter is and what the situation was in Matthew 4:3. This is when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Mm-hmm. Now we know, you know, so let's have short discussions on each one of these, and then at the end, hopefully, we'll have time to draw some conclusions to it. So it's interesting how the tempter used, as an illustration, stones and bread. Okay, you can't eat stones, but you can eat bread. Okay? So it's just interesting. Is there anything you can get out of the stones and the bread or any of that relates back to this as far as thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust of thereof?
Mm-hmm. I see if you're thy servants, you know, when if you ever walk down the street with a pebble in your shoe, it makes your walk uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And if you're walking on a pebbly, stony thing, you know, hey, you might trip and fall. Guilty. It's happened to me
just recently.
But we can turn those stones into bread.
Yeah.
You know.
And what is bread? Who's the bread of life?
And what's that one verse in the Bible that says, something's going to be turned into bread for us?
Please.
Will be bread for us. It's when the
spies. Oh, the giants. Yeah. Yes. The giants will be turned into bread for us.
Caleb said, they were all saying, oh, man.
The giants in our lives.
We can't take these guys. They're giants. We're not, you know, let's not even try.
Anything uncomfortable in
stone. He said, there'll be bread for us.
Yes.
Yep.
I didn't get that.
Okay. That's all right. This is pretty deep. I mean, this is not something that's, you know, going to be
easy. I just figured because Satan knew that Jesus was hungry,
mm-hmm.
and he just turned to stones. He said, don't you wish you could, these stones would be made bread.
Right. And in the natural, that's exactly what he was saying. Mm-hmm. He was saying, hey, you're hungry. You know, you're the big man, you know. Why don't you just turn these stones into bread and eat them?
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't the plan.
Oh.
And Jesus knew that wasn't the plan. That's why he didn't do it. He's never going to be tempted by the tempter.
Because he was the bread of life.
Right.
The bread that came down from heaven. And he told them that later on, see. So he realized that he was that.
Yeah.
So when Satan or the accuser of the brethren or the carnal mind or whatever you want to call it began to say this to him, you know, it was to tempt him, because literally the natural stones He could have turned them into bread.
Easy.
He could have done
it. Nothing.
But see, he knew that there was a spiritual application, which we'll be talking about as we go on. There was a deep spiritual application. Even the natural mind, which is the accuser of the brethren, will say things at times that is veiled from it, and it doesn't really realize what it's even saying. But it's really revealing eternal truths, and that's exactly what that is.
Amen. Exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Mark 13, 1. Mark 13, 1. Who wants to read that?
And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here.
Boy, that drips with symbolism, doesn't it? First of all, he's talking about the temple. Okay, the temple back then was made of brick and mortar and stones, and like Brenda said, the new temple, the everlasting temple, is made with living stones, meaning us.
Right.
The Amplified.
So what manner of stones, the manner of stones is it changed from the natural brick and mortar to the spiritual, my family.
Yeah. He says, and it says, notice the sort and quality of these stones.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know they had to have used the finest of the finest. I'm even carrying the natural into another spirit. Yeah, the as beautiful as those stones were, and as it is unbelievable that they didn't even have a hammer there. Mm-hmm. Think of spiritually what he thinks of us. We're much, much, much more beautiful and much more. I mean, he can't relate to the stones, he can relate to us. I mean,
he's forming,
we have a relationship.
He's forming and shaping us.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
One thing you have to realize is that in Jesus' day, that was the second temple.
Mm-hmm.
That was not the original temple.
That was Ezra's temple.
It had been destroyed. And it was actually, Herod actually had all that stuff built.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he actually built it bigger and stuff than it originally was. So even when he's saying that, it wasn't the original temple. That
wasn't Solomon's.
Wasn't Solomon's temple, because it had been destroyed. You know, so it was man-made temple, not necessarily one that God had even, you know, mm-hmm. originally had to make. You know.
And what's interesting here in Mark 13:1, look at the last two words. They're italicized.
Oh, okay.
They were put in for effect. So now read it, say, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings. Not are here.
Uh-huh.
Are here.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yes.
So I just thought that was interesting. It's there italicized for effect.
Yes.
Okay, and we can always come back to any of these scriptures, so don't ever think we can't go back, because we can go back to any one of them. But I think if we just get through some of these scriptures, we can come up, draw some conclusions here. Luke 19:40, who wants to read that?
And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out.
Wow. Jesus was saying that. You know the situation. Jesus was saying that, wow.
Which stones are he talking about?
Exactly. Exactly. That's the whole point. He sure wasn't talking about that little pebble
stones,
sitting on the side of the road there.
That's right. He was talking about those lively stones.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
So I thought that
which
was,
we are, you know.
We are.
Yes, certainly are.
And I like it says immediately cry out. Immediately. I love that word immediately. Go ahead, Ed. I know you got something.
You're going to learn a lot of things here today, Ed.
This is a little bit deep,
but there's some beautiful truths here.
God wrote this Bible.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Why couldn't he say, you're mine, I'm yours, this is how it is?
He did.
He used stones, and he used this one and that one. Why can't he just come out and say, I love you, and everything's going to be all right?
He did.
Did you ever...
You're just getting into stuff that a lot of people don't get into, because they're okay with that, what you just said. They're okay with the thought, God loves me, I love him, everything's okay. And they're okay with it, and that's as far as they go, because that's good. That's a good message.
Yeah.
I don't preach.
And words are good. God said that with his son.
The thing about it is it's like when you and your boyfriend or your husband or whatever wrote each other letters, you know, if you wrote each other letters, you said things in there that someone else reading that letter would not necessarily know what you said. Mm-hmm. But because you two had love and had your own language, mm-hmm. you knew what was being said.
That's a good example.
And the thing about that is, the Bible is a love letter to the saints of God, to the children of God. And as the Spirit opens it up to you, you just see his love everywhere, and you just see his forgiveness everywhere, and you see his reconciliation everywhere as he opens it up. But he has to open it up, and he spoke to them in parables and things because it wasn't given for them at that time to understand it, the Jewish people, which really they should have, because they knew what all these words meant, the true meaning of a lot of these words. But they were so steeped in their religion, they weren't going to listen to it because it was going against the things they had been taught all of their life, see? And so that's why, but it tells you in there, he spoke to them in parables and everything, so that seeing they wouldn't see and hearing they wouldn't really hear. But that was until the fullness of the Gentiles was come in, see? Once the fullness of the Gentiles was come in, because he was going to take a people out of the Gentiles for his name. Hello, Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And once he did that, he was going to start taking the lid off of what was actually being said in all these things.
To the Jews.
To the Jews. Yeah. But you're the true Jews, because he's not a Jew, which is one doubly circumcision is of the flesh. Scripture tells you that. But he's a Jew which is circumcised of the heart. See, he circumcised your inner heart or your inner thoughts to where you can understand what he's really saying. And a lot of the people out there in the church, they're so steeped in traditions, they read this stuff and they don't even know what they're reading.
God has even set you in this class.
So
exactly.
You can learn, and you can learn.
That's because you're one of his chosen ones.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I did. I think I got this from Brother Eddie. Yeah. It was, if I hear something and it's not computing, okay, I put it on the shelf. Okay, God is more than capable to pull it off when it's ready. So if I'm like sitting there, I mean, first thing I'm going to do is say, Lord, open this up to me. I want to know what it is. But let's say he doesn't or whatever. It goes on the shelf. That's okay. You might have a bunch of stuff on the shelf. Well, he will pull it out when it's time. His timing is perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. So when it's time, he'll pull it off the shelf. Last thing I want to say about Luke 19:40 is there's times we shouldn't hold our peace.
Yeah.
There's times we should hold our peace.
Right.
But there are times we shouldn't hold our peace. And the knowing the between the two is where a lot of Christians get in trouble.
Right.
They don't hold their peace sometimes when they need to hold it. I know I'm guilty of that, especially as a baby Christian. I wanted to go out and, save the world. And so someone should have taken me and put me in a 8x8 and left me there for a few years until I
put you in the playpen.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. But God, still found a way that, even the damage that I did, he was able to restore and bring back those relationships that I may have hurt, you know. So anyway, I did it all in love, but it was very overzealous on my part from a baby Christian that should have just held his peace. Okay.
Forever learning.
Huh?
Forever learning.
Brenda, you got to read this one since you brought it up.
1 Peter 2:5.
Mm-hmm.
Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house.
Amen.
And a holy priesthood.
Amen.
To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
What an honor to be a lively stone for the Lord.
Yes.
Wow. So cool. A spiritual house. What do you think that means? Holy priesthood. Spiritual sacrifices. What do you think he's talking about there?
The holy priesthood is really the Melchizedek priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
Order. That's what he wants to bring us into.
It's
kings
a what?
And priests.
Melchizedek priesthood. Now that's we're getting a little deep when we go into that, but that's what it is, you know.
But aren't we the spiritual house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are the spirit. And so basically, I just take this real simple, and that is, our life should reflect Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the spiritual sacrifice. That's the holy priesthood. That's the spiritual house.
Yeah.
Everything we do should reflect Him. Mm-hmm. As in a mirror, we do what Jesus tells or what the Father tells us to do. We don't do if the Father doesn't tell us to do it. And we say what He tells us to say. We don't say what He tells us not to say. So,
do you see it, Rich, as a progression?
Oh,
a
yes.
Process? Because it says you're built up.
Mm-hmm.
a spiritual house.
That's what his prayer was.
Yeah.
And he's building us up.
You don't just...
And the builder is God.
He is.
He's the builder.
Yes.
Thank
and it
God.
Doesn't come without the maturity of walking it through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes when you build a building, it's not plumb.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there's a tearing down to build it back up, you know, the right way, because it was built the wrong way. So,
you know, even what you said concerning, you know, concerning the temple, when they built Solomon's temple, which Rich mentioned this before, there was not to be the sound of a hammer or anything in the building site.
Mm-hmm.
Now, could you imagine them building this building here, and there not being the sound of a hammer nowhere in the building site when they put this building up? And the same when you realize that the original temple, that meant that they had to form them stones and everything perfectly. And when they brought them in, they had to fit perfectly in place, each one in its exact spot, and it had to be set down just perfectly. And when you realize that it's talking here about, you know, us being lively stones, he's chipping away at things in our lives continuously and teaching us and forming and fashioning us to be that perfect stone that we fit that perfect place in his spiritual temple, you know. And that's why sometimes you go through some of the problems and trials and tribulations and all of those things that you go through, is that that's his way of him. And he had master builders back then, and he has master builders to work on you today. And sometimes those master builders are that mean next door neighbor that lets his dog go in your yard all the time, and it aggravates the life out of you, and you say, or the guy that cuts you off or runs into your car, or somebody keys your car or something, and you get all upset about it. And he's saying, hey, you need to love them.
Yeah.
You need to forgive them.
I know.
You know.
As tough as that may be.
Yeah, that's part of the master builders. And it's the ministries that he puts you under and around. Because they'll teach you things that chip away and step on your toes once in a while.
He knows what tool to use.
Yeah, he does. He absolutely he has master. He's the master builder, and he's the one that sends the things into your life.
He'll knock off those rough edges so that it fits perfectly where it's supposed to fit. I had a couple basements where buddy of mine and I would build the basement out. And I can remember times when, I mean, he was, you know, accomplished. I was the helper, you know. So, but I can remember a couple times when you're putting the studs up that you may not have cut it perfectly. So you take a hammer and you pound the stud to draw it into place so that it's, you know, a 90 degree angle. So that when you put the drywall in, you'll know exactly where to screw in or hammer in or whatever. Think about this. All those stones fit in the natural, all those stones fit so perfectly, they never had to take a hammer and say, well, that one's tight. Let's pound that in. Because guess what that represented? That stone represented Jesus. And they're not going to strike that stone. They did it in the wilderness a couple times. But that's just my interpretation. You may have your own interpretation. But my interpretation is nobody was going to strike one stone in that place to make it fit. It was going to be perfect when it went in because Jesus is perfect, and there was never a need.
Ask the builder.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, ask the builder. Everything is perfect.
Yep. Did you have something, Brenda?
Yes. Can I read it now?
Sure.
It says, come, and like lively stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ.
Good.
I like the through Jesus Christ. I like that better than by. Yeah.
That's great.
I like that. That's great. Okay, now we've talked about. Go ahead. Did you have something?
No, I was just looking at verse 6 after she read it.
Okay, go ahead.
For thus it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a chosen, honored, precious chief cornerstone.
Yep.
And he who believes in him. Who adheres to, trust in, and relies on him should never be disappointed or put to shame.
That's good. The cornerstone has to be perfect.
Yeah.
Or the rest of the building won't be.
Right.
So if the cornerstone's perfect, what's that make you?
Perfect.
We may not feel perfect, but we're perfect.
Perfect.
That's how God sees us, and that's how we need to see ourselves. Not in an arrogant, egotistical way, but in a way that gives glory to God.
And the Scripture declares him as being the foundation. There's only one foundation, it's Jesus Christ. If you build on any other foundation, the building's going to come down.
Yeah.
You know? And he's that chief cornerstone. And boy, the neat thing about the things that you're saying here today, as you read through Scriptures, Daddy, you're going to find stones mentioned a lot of different places.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to look at them in a different way because they're not talking really about natural stones. They are, but they're not. You know what I mean? And then when you turn around and apply that to a spiritual aspect, boy, it'll pop open and open that whole Scripture up to you, and you'll think, wow, I see what he's saying here. You know?
That's right.
And that's the neat thing.
I don't know if this was discussed in Sunday school or somebody said this, but just recently I heard that there was a farmer, I may have seen a picture of it, he had a stone about this big, and on it was written, if you don't praise him, I will.
Ooh, that's exactly what we're talking about.
The rocks
about.
Will cry out.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to dust now. Not yet. Okay, dust. Okay, the Strong's on dust is as powdered or gray, hence clay, earth, mud, ashes, dust, earth, ground, mortar. Okay, you get the picture. That's all the natural. Okay. I'll leave that. I've got other roots, but I'll get to that in a second. Let's talk about Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and breath of life, and man became a living soul. Okay? Go on down. It says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast in the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Genesis 3, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return into the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. Enter into the rock. I love this. This is Isaiah. And you know, the name of Jesus hadn't even come up, but that's what it's saying. Enter into the rock. Not to the rock, or above the rock, or on the rock, or next to the rock. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. Whosoever, this is Matthew 10, that was Isaiah 2:10, Matthew 10:14, and whoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. So are we getting an idea of dust here? Mm-hmm. Are we getting a little bit of, okay, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God. I love that verse right there. That right there tells you that the spirit, God's spirit is, you know, I just wrote, we are spirit with a soul in a body.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
So what's the important ingredient in all that? God's spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important thing. But it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, Solomon said. All is vanity. That came right after this. So, you know, we try to fluff and buff that body and get it all nice and spend all those hundreds and thousands of dollars trying to get Botox and whatever, but when it all comes down to it, it's the Spirit of God living in us that's the ultimate, most important thing.
Yeah, Rich, that one scripture you read is a great scripture for reconciliation.
Oh, it is.
Because it says, you know, the earth returns back to the earth, and one translation says, and then all spirits return back to God.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I love that verse. And that was, wasn't that Isaiah?
That was Ecclesiastes 12:7.
Oh, Ecclesiastes 7.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, the root of dust is G2867 in the Greek. And Matthew said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whitewashed sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful on the outward, but are full of dead men's bones. And, he goes on to say, of all uncleanliness. Now let's go to the root of dust in the Greek. It says, to cover with lime. Why do they use lime? To cover the stink of a dead body. It does not increase the decomposition of it. In fact, it keeps it from decomposing as quickly. But think about that. So, okay, well, I started thinking about that. It says plaster over or whitewash. And this was also a definition of a root of dust in the Greek. The Jews were accustomed to whitewashing the entrances to their sepulchers. That's where Jesus got that line, calling the Sadducees and Pharisees whitewashed sepulchers. They, you know, but you could not touch them because you would defile them by touching them. Okay, so nobody touched the Pharisees and Sadducees because they were untouchable, because you would get in serious trouble if you went against them. Look what happened to Stephen. Stephen jumped right in their stuff, and guess what? He was stoned. You know that. Then of course the next one is also included. Term applied as a hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? Someone that's hypocritical. Someone that's super critical who conceals his malice under an outward assumption of piety. To, and then the word favor, we go all the way back up. Let's do 102:14. 102:14 says, "For thy servants take pleasure in her stones." And this is the kind of strange, "and favor the dust thereof." What? Favor the dust? Okay, let's go back down. Back down, the word favor means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. To be gracious. We are to love the stinky ones in our life. We are to love those stinky ones, man. And I'm telling you, we are sometimes those stinky ones. And we want our love, don't we? We are to cover their stink, not expose it. Just as the two of Noah's sons covered his nakedness. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Remember, he was drunk and naked, and they went and covered him without even looking at him. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And it's interesting, you dig way deep into that word backward, how they went backward. My brother is evil, and guess what? Ham, instead of doing what he should have done, Ham went to the brothers and gossiped about his dad. You know, I mean, if he would have done the right thing, he would have done exactly what Shem and Japheth did, and that's the respectful thing, you know. Psalms 102, this is the expanded version, and then we can discuss anything you want to discuss. It says, "Your servants love even, are pleased, delighted with her stones. They even care about, they have pity and compassion for her dust." So we have to have compassion for those that may not even deserve it. So anyway, any scriptures you guys want to jump in on? Let's see. So Jesus didn't hold his peace when it was time to correct the Pharisees and scribes. What did he? I mean, he called them vipers. He called them a brood of vipers. He called them whitewashed sepulchers. But I didn't know. I mean, I knew what a whitewashed sepulcher was, but I didn't know the true meaning. I mean, they were a special thing that you just, it was all idol worship, you just didn't touch it, you know, because you then defiled it. So that was the same with those Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, is then you don't go up against them, you know, because if you do, the wrath will come down from them, and all you gotta do is look at the early church, look at Jesus.
Look at the church today.
Look at the church today. Yeah. I mean, look at some of the well-known people that are preaching on, you know, TV and whatever. I mean, there is direct, there's people that do question or whatever, but ultimately, you know, like I was talking to one person, and his brother in L.A. was a bodyguard for one of the big preachers. He wouldn't tell me which one. I didn't ask. But I'm thinking, bodyguard? Didn't Christ our bodyguard? I mean, you know, I mean, this guy pays the bodyguard to follow, to go around with him wherever he goes. I mean, whatever, you know. I mean, if that's the case, then so be it. But anyway, and then the lime that they used to spread over a body, I thought was interesting. It's always spread over a dead body. You don't spread it over a living body. So,
what did he spread on?
Lime. It's a lime that has been. It's not the lime that's the fruit. It's a Yeah, whatever.
Strong chemical.
Yeah. It's powder form, I think.
Yeah, farmers use a line most of all. Farmers use a line most of all. My daddy even put it on cuts and stuff.
Oh, really?
On cows and keep the flies away.
Yeah, because it cuts the stink and mm-hmm. flies are attracted to the stink.
Well, also, in that case, farmers, it also heals. You know, and dry the cut up so it, you know, heal. Hmm. We used to put it, like when I was living on the farm, we used to clean our barns out with it.
Hmm.
You know, and like I say, it gets rid of the stench, so.
Mm-hmm.
We also used to put it on cuts of cows, horses, whatever.
Okay, anybody have any other comments before we adjourn? So, to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior, to be gracious. That's the definition of favor.
I have one about that. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 27, this is when the Lord had appeared unto Abraham, and they were on their way to go to Sodom, you know, and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. And in verse 26, he says, "And the Lord said, if I find Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then shall I spare the place for their sakes." And then verse 27 says, "And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." And when we realize in our own self, we're nothing but dust and ashes without the presence of the Lord.
Right.
And you know, he was humbling himself before the Lord. And because he knew the Lord well enough to humble himself before the Lord, as he went on, he actually talked the Lord down about not destroying it, all the way down to 10. If there was 10 righteous people there, he wouldn't destroy it, because, you know. But see, really what Abraham was doing is he was actually showing the mercy of God. You know, he was trying to get the Lord to have mercy upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and he did, up until he got to the 10th place. And then, you know, but he realized that he was nothing but dust. And I think that's why a lot of times we have to realize, yes, we are kings and priests unto God. Yes, we are all these things that Scripture said. But in our own self, we're but dust mm-hmm. without him, see?
Right.
Because he had to breathe the breath of life into mm-hmm. the dust for us to become a living soul, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, I just think sometimes I hear a lot of ministers and stuff, and boy, they forgot that they're nothing but dust. I mean, yeah. But boy, they're the kings, and they've got the, you know, everything out there.
Yep.
And they tend to forget that they're nothing but dust, and that they are what they are strictly because of who he is, not because of who they are. And their identity is hidden in him. We give up our identity to obtain his identity.
How low did Abraham get from 10?
Please?
He went below that, didn't he?
No, he just went down to 10. Yeah.
And you know what? 10 is the law.
10 is law and responsibility. Mm-hmm. Yes, the number for law and responsibility. And you know what? The law and responsibility is never gonna save you. It won't. It has to be the grace of God. That's the only thing that will ever save you, his mercy. Yeah. But I believe there's a scripture, and I couldn't find it, where it says he knows our fame and that we're nothing but dust. You know. And our fame is that we're dust.
Yeah.
But we receive his fame when we acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. And it's like we change names. It's like even what it says up in Ephesians about, you know, about marriage, you know, and it talks about basically, you know, that, you know, about it. He said, "I speak concerning Christ and his church." Well, in marriage, the woman, which is a type of the soul, mm-hmm. receives the man's last name. Mm-hmm. She receives his authority. She receives everything that he is mm-hmm. in the natural. And I'm like, say, I know if you tell that to a lot of women, liberation people are they'll tighten up. But we're talking a spiritual principle here, not a natural principle. And you know, when we come to realize that, that authority and all that he has becomes all that you have too, as you stay under the covering of your husband, the Spirit of God. Yeah. Well, that was great, Rich. And that thing about every time you look at stones, you're going to look at them in a different way. And you know, it's a tremendous truth, you know. And a lot of people in the church, buddy, they're waiting for them to build that temple over there in Jerusalem again. And I just don't believe it's ever going to happen.
Well, if they build it on the same spot, I think the Muslims will have a say in that, because that's where the Dome of the Rock is. That's their most holy place.
Why would he build a natural temple when you're the spiritual temple? When it says up in the New Testament, know you not, you're the temple of God. Mm-hmm. And if you're the temple of God and you come to that real revelation of that, why would you build a natural temple again? Yeah. He dwells in you. You're his temple.
It's inferior to the real temple.
That's right. Absolutely. It's just a type and shadow.
That's all it is.
The real temple.
Yeah. And it was pretty lovely.
Oh, it was magnificent.
Oh, yeah.
Magnificent.
And so was the spiritual temple.
And yet, inferior.
He reckons the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be of the glory that shall be revealed in us. Yeah. Somebody's buzzing.
Okay, I'm going to end with this. You think God has a sense of humor?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have a sense of humor?
He made us.
Exactly.
He knows.
Okay, I'm going to close with this. It's very unspiritual, okay?
All right.
When I was in college, we used to have a toast, okay? It was ashes to ashes, dust to dust. If the whiskey doesn't get us, the women must. Oh, boy. Forgive me, Lord.
I see spiritual truth there. That's talking about the soul will get you.
That's it.
Yes,
that's
yes.
It.
Yes.
You didn't know how prophetic that was.
Oh, I did. I just said it too many times. Okay.
Women have one too.
Father, we just thank you for your mercy, grace, and your love. For you took this dust, which we are, and you made it yours.
Yes.
You filled us with your spirit.
Yes.
Father, we just thank and praise you this morning.
Yes.
We ask that you give us ears to hear what everybody is saying from the pulpit. Whoever speaks today, Jim, we thank you. But it's by God that you're up there.
Yes.
Father, have your way this day. We thank Rich for Sunday school.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just bless us, Father, and have your way with us.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.